Thanks for joining me for another All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast. I'm William O'Flaherty from EssentialCSLewis.com. Today I'm sharing a previously released episode that features a talk given by Britton Dickinson. It's from the 2012 Taylor University Colloquium, where he shared the highlights of a paper about his experience of teaching the Screwtape Letters at a secular university. Since this show, he has been a guest on my program several times, including, at the time of this re-release, a roundtable discussion on the Hobbit movies versus the book. You can check the show notes for links to that, as well as a link to Britton's website called A Pilgrim in Narnia. Also in the show notes, that you can find at EssentialCSLewis.com, is a link to the multimedia presentation Britton shared during his talk. You can follow along with it while listening to this podcast. I also have a link to the complete paper that Britton prepared for the conference, but was limited to sharing just 20 minutes worth of highlights.
Here's what I did. I teach at a secular university, and we teach largely non-religious, non-Christian kids. And so what I decided to do was to assign Screwtape Letters, which is very theistic. It uses a kind of language that's archaic and throws back to another age, a pretentious character who's the entire voice of the thing. How distant can we get from these things? Well, I'm going to argue today that this is an entirely relevant kind of assignment to make. I'm going to tell you what the context was, how I made the assignment, and tell you kind of some of my conclusions. And there's part of a kind of a larger paper, of course, that you can get as part of the Inklings Forever collection. And there's some resources on my blog as well. So this is what I'm going to talk about and argue essentially that the Screwtape Letters is actually still relevant in terms of content as well as in form or genre. So we'll talk about those things. Now, I'm actually not going to set up the story. If you don't know, you're welcome to kind of slide out and maybe capture something you know. Basically, Senior Deeming giving anti-spirituality advice to his junior officer and his nephew in this kind of case. Now, C.S. Lewis didn't really like writing this book, famously. He found it difficult, and he resisted writing a follow-up to any of these stories, and there's lots of fun about that. But that didn't stop other people from writing follow-ups to the Screwtape Letters, and we know there's a huge tradition now of this. I'm not going to talk about all of that. You can go to the blog. But one that I did want to comment was Dorothy Sayers' own Screwtape Letters, which some of you would know. She picked up Screwtape Letters and was drawn into this story, the witty character and all of that. And so when she wrote her collection of dramas, the plays, The Man Born to be King, she sent Lewis a copy, a preview copy or a free copy, and wrote her own Screwtape Letter. So her demon essentially writing, Screwtape writing to her demon, I guess. And so the effect of writing these plays upon the character of my patient, Dorothy Sayers, is wholly satisfactory. I've already had the honor to report intellectual and spiritual pride, vainglory, self-opinionated dogmatism, irreverence, blasphemous frivolity, I practice that one, frequentation of the company of theatricals, captiousness, impatience with correction, polemical fury, shortness of temper, neglect of domestic affairs, lack of charity, egotism, nostalgia for secular occupations, what writer hasn't felt that, and a growing tendency to consider the Bible as literature. Pretty cutting kind of a thing if you know the context of this. And of course, Lewis was delighted with this letter, right? And I found this as I think the first Screwtape-style letter. If you know of another one, as within a year when he wrote, that would be great. I don't actually have the whole thing. I have most of it. And so he loved it. He said this is fit for human consumption, was his response, and found it artful and playful. And so I knew there's this tradition that is there. There'll be a bit of allusion to this as we go. But what about, Dorothy Sayers shared his worldview for the most part, right? And she had read his books and the books that he had read, and they knew each other. There's this whole kind of literary sharing moment that exists there. What about my students who are largely functionally illiterate when they come to me in first year at a secular university? I think it's great, actually. So let's take a look at the basic course description. Is Myths of Hate and Evil is the course. On your sheet, you'll notice that the people that sign up are quite diverse. You know, so the largest single discipline is our sciences world, but lots of art students, science students, people from all disciplines, religious studies and literature, which probably seem the most relevant, aren't the most number of students that exist there. We look at the historical development of mythology and Western literature with this topic in mind. We also do a love, sex, and marriage version of this course, kind of part A and B. And the themes include, you know, the devil, theodicy, violence, immorality, and religious intolerance. Okay, so that's the way that we approach, or the way I approach this class, is somebody else teaches it. Who are our students? Now, there's 7 or 8 pages in the paper on this, if you want. But basically, we've got some contrast in Prince Edward Island and Canada, as well as the United States, with our class. Okay, so Prince Edward Island looks a little bit more like the United States in terms of religious commitment, except the Catholic Protestant split is quite different. So we've got the opposite in Canada and the United States, how it's taking place largely speaking, and as well the evangelical conversation in the United States, you know, a quarter or so. Pew Forum and Vernon, all these people are most outgoing and stuff. And then, but in Canada, we're estimating about 12%. It's really hard. There's no category for this and no language for this in Canada. And in Prince Edward Island, it's really tough to say. So I did a denominational breakdown as best as I could understand. So there's quite a range there. PEI probably falls a little bit stronger than in Canada. We've got a religious commitment in Prince Edward Island that probably like New England's before, kind of, there's a bit of renewal in New England now since 9/11, maybe before that, but what's moving on. And now, what about our class? Well, the contrast in our class is really quite something. You know, just over half of our students taking a religious studies class in Christianity and culture have any kind of religious commitment. A little bit more Protestant than Catholic, pretty high evangelical group. We've made an evangelical the welcoming space, I guess, was not a good place to have in several universities. The spiritual, not religious group is quite high. The non-religious group is statistically high. And the agnostic or unsure group is certainly more able to speak about kind of where they're at. So it's a different kind of a conversation. When asked about their actual commitment, it described your commitment. So about a quarter go to church, about a quarter involved in spirituality in some kind of a way, openly or privately. And then a quarter have drifted away, and then we've got 20% that are not interested or never connected at all. So in general, you've got about 3/4 of people just not actively engaged in their faith, and then others, another 20 or 30% that are in some way connected. Okay. Now, this looks fairly normal, but I would suggest that probably if you know David Kahneman's last book, You Lost Me, what he talks about is that, you know, this is not the normal drifting away of a college-age group, but it's actually something that will be substantially different. The kids in my generation, we drifted away and kind of came back and we made our own children, some earlier than others. This group won't, is what he's essentially arguing. So this is the last generation. So what's the connection then when we have to teach Screwtape Letters to this group of atheists, anti-theists, specifically anti-theistic, non-religious, spiritual but non-religious, and then some connected people? So what did I do? Create a lecture structure, that essentially ran in a kind of an argumentative style. Did a background of mythology and evil, which was kind of covered here, asking the question, is there more than there is? This is the essential question. And I suggest that fantasy and fairy literature ask this question, and basically trying to crack the nut of the question of the materialistic world for young people that it hasn't been asked before. Probably even church kids haven't really thought about this. But the essential divide of, is there more than there is, or is this all there is? Right, and so I suggest that there is more than there is, actually. So, talk about mythology and Genesis in a section. Then we go into Satan Week, a celebration on campus, and we talk about the Genesis and evolution of Satan. A little bit of play on words there. And then we've got the problem of evil, of course, is an entire unit. And then I use the problem of evil to draw the students to the question of the problem of good. And I use some utopic literature to suggest that actually good is the problem, not evil, that we have to face philosophically. Then we go into, does a religion poison everything? Some might know the context of that question. And then the last section is Holocaustism and hate, race and racism and stuff. This year we did a study of Twitter and what was happening. And then we end the class and I kind of let her know and talk about zombies, which of course is pretty relevant. But we have other things. For the book discussion of Screwtape, we break the group into 50 in a class, right? 45, 50 in class, two bigs. We break them into about the size, about 20, 25. Then we have smaller breakout groups for discussion questions, quotables, come back together, do a discussion. But there's also an exam question that's involved. They have to draw a picture of Satan as they imagine him or her or it on the exam, as well as they have to do a pretty extensive assignment of the book that can't be copied and cheated. It's very individualized. And then finally, after filling out an anonymous spiritual perspective survey, the results of which you have, the students have to write an original Screwtape letter. Now, this is the big kind of thing that we're talking about. Write an original Screwtape letter. It doesn't have to be Screwtape's voice or even the same characters, but talking about the slow, steady descent to hell as the approach to anti-spirituality that exists there. But what I ask them to do is not necessarily critique Christian things, but to critique something culturally relevant in their own world. So find something that they think that would draw them out of their true selves, and how would Screwtape or a Screwtape-style person tease this out? And the results, surprisingly, were pretty incredible. Pretty much everybody got this. And we're going to look at some of the examples, and again, my ridiculously long paper will have more of those. Now, there's some creative framing that happens with these things. Most use Screwtape and Wormwood, but we got others. So Pukewort, Zero, which we mentioned, a tapeworm, Gallstone, that one, Echo, number 642, etc. We got three brothers of Wormwood who was wasted, right? You know, so a new nephew in place. Bodily functions and body parts were popular, including the clearly demonic muffin top. I'm going to leave that. You figure out what that one is. Some creative exceptions to the name of Screwtape as well. Narcissus, Snake, Coil, Quark, and Aunt Screwtape. Only five female, obviously female demon names. Although number 642, of course, could be female. The homage to pop culture was strong. So Damien, right, from the two series, the Omen series, was there, the creepy kid. Beetlejuice was one of the demons. Wigglesworth, maybe probably Richard Wigglesworth, the rugby player. Though you're American, you would know. Hostbuster was one of the demons. Leonard was fairly popular as well, as you can imagine. Hell's Angel. And then Wormtail was one of the demons, who looks remarkably like Christopher Hitchens in this picture. And then Ravenclaw was also mentioned by two students, I believe. So we got some Harry Potter stuff. Jadis was one of the demons, hint at Narnia. And then Rebecca Black. Now, how many know Rebecca Black? Quite a few. So Rebecca Black shows we go from creative framing to actually creative risk. Some students took risks, and this is one demon writes that his demon on Earth, right? Rebecca Black. You know, this could be the most influential tip I could ever possibly give you, Rebecca. Whatever you do, do not stop making your horrible, horrible music. Your music alone is bringing the Earth people farther and farther away from the area. And so there's this, and I just, because not everybody knows, I have to show you kind of who this is. I don't know if the sound will work. So she's a canned YouTube star. So she made this video, like local production video, and it went, there's 100 million hits on YouTube. It's huge, one of the biggest things of 2010. It's not a high watermark of American pop music.
Well, your taste.
And it asks a big philosophical question right here. The back seat, which one am I going to sit in, front seat or back seat? And so it's asking the big questions of life, right? Well, anyway, some creative risks. You know, some captured really Lewis's voice. Don't get so damn excited by this immediate suffering. Your stomach will only growl more ferociously when it realizes you blundered such an excellent opportunity. Some good writing there, actually. Most not. But, you know, this really kind of captures Screwtape's voice. Now, what I've done is broke it up into six different units. I'm not going to talk about mental illness, which is one of the units, but I have some phrases somewhere that we need to look at later in the paper. Now, vocation was the best group. So the people that were thinking of vocation, so these are artists, writers, artisans, etc., people thinking of their life, as a kind of a calling already. Humans exist on a day-to-day basis with pitiful dreams to keep them going. Most humans will continue to have these dreams while never actually making any moves towards achieving them. Kind of a Stephen Pressfield kind of moment here. What you must realize is that these creatures are lazy. And while this may not seem like a big and grand sin, it is the essential quality that keeps these humans from being able, strong creatures to unsightly lumps of flesh, so caught up in self-loathing that they will never see anything but their hair loss and pain. Right? And you see the definitiveness of that path that exists kind of in this kind of Screwtapian kind of style. So this was the best section, and so I'm going to add another quotation from it. I'm pleased that we've learned your patient's a writer. Huh, got this? Any writers in the room? Writers are a rare breed that are quite easy to exploit, throwing the darkness and drive into badness. Anyone? Dorothy Sayers up above, right? But a word of caution. Writers are often creative thinkers. You must not let the writer come to imagine things he cannot possibly understand. Yeah, and so then we get into their hats, right? So this was a great section that where people thought about how if, you know, basically, what would Screwtape do? Get me off the path of my dreams, or give me an imagination that I can make the dreams up as I go, or something. So, key section there. Secondly, the apathetic arts is what I call them, basically laziness, you know, lost in front of the television, or, you know, mindlessly drifting in front of Facebook, hitting the F5 button as we go. A social platform and the internet in general cultivate this kind of sense of comfort with dishonesty due to the anonymity of the entire thing. And a sense of dissatisfaction with self. And of course, most students would have been, you know, putting off this assignment, so this particular section was pretty relevant as well. Also, in this apathetic arts, we see this kind of interesting line, never did I expect under your watch the patient would come to the realization that a wasted life has nothing to do with wasting talent, but everything to do with not enjoying all that life has to offer. Mm. Now this is maybe not a Lewisian kind of perspective, but certainly a clear demonstration of a worldview in print. So, good. Let's move on, thirdly, to the question of relationships. I'm not going to do this because it was not really well done in general for this group of papers. It just wasn't well done. This one's not bad. What very few of them seem to realize is that these devices, so this is social platforms, cell phones in particular, texting, these devices allow the humans to communicate, face facts with one another, but not really connect with any other human. They never touch another's soul. And so there was even critique in the kind of the poor section about this, but mostly it was, you know, badness of bad. So sex is bad, so let's get them to have sex, right? Or lust, like not even get to sex, we'll get just lust, will be fine. But of course, that Screwtape's kind of, you know, best stuff, I think. The stuff and status was good, basically, you know, and this, I'm not going to read all this, it's too long for right now, but this student talks about the difficulty of trying to kind of keep up with authenticity within the group, which is, you see the irony there, how you have to create authenticity, then it's not authentic, right? And so this is credibility. It could be with things like iPads and, you know, whatever else, or it could be just the status in your group that you have. And she writes about tabulating indie credibility, which demolishes pleasurable true companionship based on non-judgmental exchanges of experience and the lack of power relations. Your patients will see, like a windshield of their visual view, a colorful digital scorekeeping system. Can you see the pain of this young student's writing about in her particular life? Right? Really something. And then fifth, we go to the question of the teen fall, which I'm not going to talk about. You can guess this connected with a relationship. This is the drinking, the partying, all the kind of stuff you can imagine. A handful of students wrote this. I didn't even think this would come up. I was totally missing this because I'm thinking of the slow, subtle path. But this is the group that basically, they have their first drink at a party, or maybe the Halloween party at the university for the first one, and they're like a drug addict by Christmas, right? So this is this group, right? They kind of miss the slow, steady thing. But some interesting things here. There's one good one. What your infirm interpreted as freedom and independence, he was actually making himself more vulnerable to failure. So kind of some good critiques in it, but mostly, as you can imagine, the teen sins, if we can get them. And in the evangelical world, we've talked about them a lot. And then there was the big ideas section. I'm not going to go into this one, but there was drugs and gambling. I mean, one person went like war, terrorism, all came out of kind of the, you know, the first meeting of a friend at a train station at the beginning. So there's big stuff, but big ideas about all these kind of things. This is a good internal critique. put in his mind a pathetic place called church, where he's not required to do anything, but where he pays his money and then leaves it up to the employees to make him feel comfortable. Yeah, we should be listening to some of these students say. Do we have a Lewisian perspective? Well, sometimes. There was a handful of students that really captured it well. Here's one. The arenas of young minds, these so-called universities, are places where free thought is encouraged. What a vile concept that the enemy allows such insects to emerge where angels once spread. Nice line, actually. Really well written. And really kind of captures the whole essence that it's hard for our students to understand that if we do a solid liberal arts program, all right, good, solid liberal arts program, we will actually be able to communicate something more central to humanity in that program. Well, let me give the conclusion to the matter. Limitations, it probably favors more artistic and experienced and literature and religious studies students. It has the potential to alienate, but I really mitigate that kind of thing. And of course, some students miss the end of the movement and the whole kind of slow approach of screw tape. The advantages, though, I think outweigh these. It really gives space for critical thinking, which is lacking, I think, in general, even within the university context. And then they did really well, and it gave me insights to their world that I wouldn't have had from another perspective. Because they're thinking about everything upside down. They had to work hard to do this project. And it also gave me a non-test setting to kind of evaluate their material. So that was good as well. So finally, just to capture, is this a relevant thing? I would argue that the Screwtape letters allow students, when they use this kind of Screwtapian inverse perspective, it brings out two things. So for the students, it allows them basically the creative form for cultural critique. It allows them to think about their world in a new way. And the letters themselves actually offer insight in how to see the world in that way. So both of them can form and content. The Screwtape letters are valuable. Yeah, thank you very much.
Again, you've been listening to the highlights of a paper read at the 2012 Taylor University Colloquium. Be sure to check the show notes to get the full report from Britton's research by following the link to the complete paper. Accomplish this by visiting essentialcslewis.com or allaboutjack.podbean.com, where my podcast files are hosted. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. There you will also find other links to previous shows Britton has been a part of, along with the ability to browse the list of the most recent shows that include chats with Dr. Don King on the collected poems of C.S. Lewis and a couple of upcoming conferences for 2015. If you have questions or comments, you can email info@essentialcslewis.com. Again, that's info@essentialcslewis.com.